Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Now is the time to trim your lamps and get ready for the coming of the Lord.
Friends, the Lord is coming soon. Are you ready? Join us now for the Midnight Cry broadcast.
Do you think the Lord really wants his children to go around self-pitying, resentful, okay, but, you know, and all of it, you just yield to human emotions, because what are they attached to? They're attached to what I want. And here is God saying, I see this in you. This has got control of it. You've learned how to live, how to think this way. I've got to do something. And the only way I can do it is to stand back, let the devil challenge you on that point and bring some kind of difficulty, so you're going to have to look to me and turn to me. What else has he got to work with? How many of you have ever had a real need in your life and all God had to do is come along and explain it to you? Kind of doesn't work that way, does it? We need him to really challenge whatever's in control of our lives and the way we think and the way we operate. And it's going to have to be adverse. It's going to have to be headwinds. It's going to have to be, I mean, he says, whenever you face trials of many kinds, obviously, no matter what your human nature is made of, whatever you're like, God's going to allow that to be challenged. And whenever it is, you and I have a choice to make, don't we? It's not only what we do, but how we feel about it when we do it. Because God is not wanting people to serve him with a resentful, okay, I'll do it, but kind of an attitude. Consider it pure joy. My brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, now there's got to be a reason for that. Why would the Lord tell us something so totally ridiculous, at least as by humans' standards? Unless there was a mighty good reason. Because you know, now there's something we're supposed to know here. I mean, really know it in our hearts, not just know it in our heads. But God wants this to become such a deep-rooted knowledge that it enables what he's talking about. Because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Now, again, we're talking about things we've talked about so many times. There's nothing new here. But what is it? I mean, think about what God's calling me to do. I'm facing a difficulty that's challenging my nature in ways I would prefer he'd leave alone if I was just going by my feelings. But now he's challenging me. He knows that, and part of what I need to be doing is to have the strength to put one foot in front of another and keep going anyway. Start ignoring the headwinds and say, well, Lord, I know what you want. I'm going to do it by your grace. I'm going to keep putting one foot in front of another. But if I don't ever get tested, where do I get the strength and the character to do that? It never becomes part of my nature if I'm not tested. If God does not allow the devil to challenge me in an area of need, I will never overcome that. Now, I'll bet you everybody here, based on human feelings, would just assume the Lord would leave you alone and take you to heaven anyway. And by your chuckles, I sense that you agree with me. But I am so thankful. When you stand back and think, what in the world? We are so self-centered. We are so self-absorbed. It's all about me. Everything about my natural makeup is all about me and what I want and how I feel and how things are going. And here the Lord is going to have to put his finger on one after another of these things that have ruled over me. And I'm going to have to make a choice in every instance as to what I'm going to do about it. Am I going to agree with God? And am I going to look back to the cross? We've talked about these things many times. Am I going to look back and realize he's already taken care of my need? I just have to start agreeing with him, and I can experience the power that makes it possible for me to agree with him. But see, you see where James is taking it a step further? It's not just what I do, but is my choice to do this is to consider it pure joy. Lord, this is awesome. Thank you so much. Lord, I rejoice in what you're doing. I rejoice in this because I know where it's headed. I understand what you're doing and I agree with it. Lord, this is what matters to me. It's not what's how this particular circumstance works out or whether I feel good or don't feel good or feel your presence or not. None of that has anything to do with it, Lord. It's where are you going with this? And I see it, and that's where my eye is on. That's what my heart is attached to. Where is your heart attached to? What is your heart attached to? Do you just want life to be a certain way? You've got it all planned in your mind and in your heart and your expectations, and you'd just as soon be healthy and wealthy and wise and you know, just have a nice, pleasant, earthly life. Folks, it ain't always going to be that way. You know, I've said it many times. We are so accustomed to a peaceful, relatively peaceful life in America. What's going to happen when that changes? You think before the Lord comes, it's always going to be just this way? The Lord knows where he's going with all of this, and he is working in us to prepare us to make us strong enough that we can stand. We could stand there like James did and say, Jesus is Lord, and I'm with him, and I don't care what happens to me. I am his for time and eternity. Man, you've got to have something real in here. You can't just have hand-me-down religion and get this. You're going to have a personal encounter with him. But then when we have that encounter and he comes to live in, that's when he goes to work. Praise God. Because you know, what do we know? That the testing of your faith, challenging it, challenging, do I really believe this? Here's what I profess to believe, but do I really believe this over what I want and how I want my life to be? Which am I going to choose? Is it worth serving him? Is it worth everything to serve him? Is it really worth everything to serve him? All right? There's a choice to be made, isn't there? All right? So it produces perseverance. Well, what's that about? Let perseverance finish its work. We talk about God, about Christ finishing the work he started, but see, that involves working in us to change us, not just, okay, I'm sitting here and you're magically changing me into the person I'm going to become forever. He wants me to learn how to grow up and make choices and become the child of God that he has designed me to be. Praise God. And he doesn't want that to be a miserable process. Simple truth, but I'll bet you there's not a person here who knows the Lord who has got there yet. Anybody? Anybody doesn't need this? You got it all solved. You got everything that the Lord does to you. You're on board with it, and you're just dancing with joy because of what he's doing. Well, it takes some faith. What we're talking about is faith in action. You know, faith in action involves a lot of things, but it involves making the right choice to agree with him over our nature. That's part of it. But see, faith not only agrees with what the Lord does, it learns how to be thankful and to rejoice and to have a positive attitude. And I'll say this, you know, I use this testimony I've referred to many times, and I referred to it last week of what I went through when I sort of stopped seeking the Lord for a few days, and then the Lord worked on me. And what I emphasized last week was that it came from the inside. Well, what I didn't say was what the issue was. And the issue was that I was around people, I think I've mentioned this at a time or two, I was around people who were having experiences and emphasizing experiences. And I wanted one. Why are you leaving me out? Lord God, I don't feel you. I don't have, what's wrong? Why can't I break through? And what the Lord finally brought me to after several days of pouting was a simple conviction. Lord, I'm going to serve you if I never have a feeling. Now, I have had times when the Lord's drawn near, but he's kind of held me to that too, because, you know, faith and feelings are kind of different. It's easy to serve the Lord if you just felt exhilarated all the time, and you'd call that serving the Lord. But how about when you don't? How about when you're where David was in Psalm 13? Where are you, Lord? How long am I going to keep praying and I don't seem to make any contact? You don't act like you're listening. I can't tell if you're listening. And he goes on and on. But you know, even David, back then, knowing what he knew, didn't know anything about the coming, about Christ coming and all of the second new covenant, hadn't experienced that, but he knew enough to say, but I'm going to still praise you. You see, their faith is actually a choice as to what we, it's a choice of what we do, but it's a choice of how we do it. And it doesn't wait for the feelings. God is going to put every one of us in circumstances where every natural emotion is against what he wants us to do. Every natural circumstance is against it. The facts on the ground are against it. Think of what Abraham went through when he believed God's promise. That was the key to all of our relationship with God is faith. It believes not just, it believes him. It's more than believing the words. It's believing the person. To where I trust him, I commit everything into his hands, and he is free to do what he needs to do, how he needs to do it, when he needs to do it. And I'm not going to sit here and dictate or react against what he's doing. That's what real faith is. And so many times God is putting you and me in circumstances that we would never choose in a million years. We don't like it. We don't want it. And yet God will deliberately allow us to be there so that we can learn how to make the right choice. And then again, what James is going, where James went with this, says that's not even enough, is it? Just doing the right thing is not enough. It's how do I feel about it? Lord, I am so in tune with you that I agree with what you're doing. I see it. I don't even feel it. This is not even emotion. This is where I started to go with, when I was talking a few minutes ago. I'm not waiting for an emotion. And when he's talking about pure joy, he's not trying to work. He's not talking about working up an emotion, what I'm trying to say. I'll get it out eventually. He's not talking about working up an emotion. I don't have to feel this to say, to rejoice and to say, thank you, Lord. Lord, I will rejoice. I will choose to consider it pure joy. That's how I'm gonna view this because I'm learning. You're changing the way I'm thinking. My thinking was stinking thinking. It was the kind that's just so attuned to this world. That's all I could see, and all of my values were in accord with that. I'll tell you, the world does not begin to understand the things of God. Do you know they're not capable of understanding it? Do you know that I don't care how well you explain it to somebody whose mind is just natural in their thinking, and let's say God's not even talking to them, you can't explain it to where it will make any sense. The preaching of the cross is to them who perish, what is it? Foolishness. God has made foolish the wisdom of this world. He has fixed it to where I don't care how smart somebody is in their intellect. They can never figure out the things of God, and yet a little child, God can speak to their hearts and they can know things that that genius doesn't know. I want to be in the position of the child that says, Lord, I know who you are. I trust you. You have made yourself real.
The message you have heard is part of a regular church service recorded as it was being ministered. CD and DVD copies of this service in its entirety are available. To assist with postage and processing costs, an offering of $5 is suggested for CDs and $10 for DVDs. Please identify the station over which you have heard this broadcast and provide the broadcast date when ordering. You may also receive our quarterly publication, The Midnight Cry Messenger, which is mailed out free and postage paid to all who request it. Our mailing address is Midnight Cry Ministries, Post Office Box 685, Southern Pines, North Carolina 28388. Or you may choose to visit us on the World Wide Web at www.midnightcry.org.
And now, may God richly bless you until our next broadcast.